Pippa Hudson on Cape Talk. Call Pippa on 021-446-0567.
Now, if you tuned into the breakfast show this morning, you might have heard Keno chatting to MEC Albert Fritz of the Provincial Social Development Department about the Ava Barley case. And in case you've missed the background, let me just briefly recap for you that Ava was the five-month-old baby who died at Auntie Dawn's daycare center in Pinelands in 2010 after she rolled off a bed and was asphyxiated. The centre was not registered at the time. The owner had applied for registration in 2008, but at the time of the child's death, she hadn't received anything more than a simple acknowledgement of her application. And Catherine Moore was looking after 15 babies and toddlers in a facility that had only 3 cots available. A court found last week that both Moore and the Social Development Department were jointly liable for the child's wrongful death. And Judge Daniel Clodlaw found both should be held liable for paying damages to Ava's parents, Craig and Riette. Let's just recap a little listening to what MEC Fritz told Keno this morning before we pick up with the lawyer who represented the family. Specifically, the MEC spoke about some of the challenges of monitoring registration of these facilities.
One of the kind of big challenges is that you have the mushrooming of ECDs all over, and they're just all unregistered. And we just don't firstly have the capacity to get to each one of them, and as far as we can, we try and get to them, but they're just all over. And as you say, people, it's really kind of entrepreneurial, but any auntie or any old man also sometimes think that he can open the ECD with no qualifications, with nothing. Now, that's the first part. The second part is, as far as we possibly can, we strive to genuinely try and assist people. We have firstly the good, just the public spirit about it, but also a basic qualification, because you can also incrementally qualify yourself further. So what we've tried to do in most instances is to assist to become compliant. I must tell you, in certain municipalities, it is almost, with rezoning applications, it's almost impossible for people to become compliant because the cost involved. And then we're now talking very aggressively to most municipalities in our MOUs with those municipalities to really, one of the aspects in all our MOUs is to see how they can either make a blanket amount available, or, to say like Stellenbosch municipality, they have a 600 rand blanket for rezoning. And ask for plans and all of that.
Yep.
But to make it also to let people be compliant, to allow people to be compliant, to empower people, you can really then do that.
But what happens to the ones that are currently illegal at the moment? They don't have the correct registration. They're hiring the people who cost them the cheapest so they can make the highest profit, and all they do is look after our kids and then sort of, feed them what they think is the right food for nutritional purposes. There are lots of those out there, so what happens to those?
Yes, what we've done is to also just exactly know where they are, so that we first can see what interventions is there to assist them to become compliant. But secondly, we must then go to the High Court to get an order to close them. Every time, and all these cases, you have to go to the High Court. So our first approach is really to assist and see where the people can and make them become compliant, to assist them. And I want to here speak specifically, that was a house in ECD in Pinelands.
Yeah.
Now you can imagine the ECDs where there's no infrastructure, informal settlement. You can just imagine.
Yeah. Yep.
The kind of verdict and the implications of the judgment on those kind of ECDs. So we're really studying it. We've asked also for our legal counsel to give an opinion on it, to really make a decision the way forward.
Sure.
It may just have very, very, very severe implications.
So all I'm saying, I hear what you're saying.
So that was MEC Albert Fritz speaking to Keno Kamis this morning, talking about the complex challenges of dealing with registration of these facilities. Joining me on the line now is Chris Smith, who is a senior associate with DSC Attorneys. He represented Ava's parents in this case. Chris, thank you so much for joining us and welcome to the show.
Thank you, Papa. Thanks for having me.
First of all, how are Ava's parents feeling after the ruling on Friday?
Well, they're obviously relieved that after 7 years, they've had some closure in regard to this matter that's been dragging on all this time.
Mm.
They are obviously quite emotional about it, and I don't think they've even had the opportunity to really consider and peruse the judgment.
Fair enough. It is, though, a judgment which has a lot of significance going forward and sets some pretty interesting precedents. Because let's talk about the significance of the fact that both of these defendants were found jointly liable, not just the owner of the facility, but also the department. Because what does it say, Chris, about the responsibilities of provincial government?
You know, I've had a listen at the conversation with the MEC this morning. And with all due respect to the MEC, you know, what they're saying now is nothing new. What he's saying was already said after the death of little Ava in 2010, or not what he said, but the department said, when the former MEC Patricia DeLille was in his position. But what is important to understand in this instance with the first defendant, Auntie Dawn, had applied to the department in 2008 to have this facility registered. And the case against the second defendant, against the department, was really based on the fact that from the time of her application till the time of little Ava's death, the department had not done anything to assist her in complying with the norms and standards set by the department.
So they knew she had put in an application for a facility and there was no effort to make sure that it would be a fully functioning, fully registered facility, which is unfortunately what led to the death of this young child. Because we know this isn't an isolated case, is it, Chris? Do we have any sense of how many unregistered facilities are actually operating in this province? Was it something you looked at as part of preparation for the case?
There are quite a few. There were about 1,500 unregistered facilities at the time. But our focus was more on the facilities that had applied to the department, where the department had not attended to the applications. In terms of the Act, the department has, within 6 months, the department has to inspect and process these applications. And our case was based on the fact that the department had not done that.
So 6 months to process, and in this case it was over 2 years and nothing had happened. Now, I know the department has got 20 days in which to lodge an appeal if they wish to. Have you had any feedback from them as to whether they intend to do so?
No, well, as far as I know, they're also still studying the judgment. It's quite a lengthy judgment, interesting judgment to read. But they will only after that period give us any indication of whether they intend appealing the matter or not.
Okay, and what about the matter of damages, Chris? Both of them held liable jointly for damages. Has any amount been set as yet?
No amount has been discussed. Obviously, once we know whether the department intends appealing it or not, we can enter into negotiations with them in an attempt to try and settle the matter. You might be aware that the first defendant, that the trial went ahead without the first defendant because she had moved to the UK. Mm. And she did not respond to any summons and requests for her to be present and be represented at the trial. So judgment was given jointly and severally, which means that we can either now claim from the first or the second defendant or both.
And do you intend trying to track down that first defendant, Catherine Moore, who left the country? Do you know where she is? Do you have any idea where to even start the search?
No, we know exactly where she is. And like I said, we served the notice of set down on her. And she nonetheless refused to, or she chose not to attend at the proceedings. It's obviously a costly affair that has to go through the Department of Foreign Affairs. Mm. And for practical purposes, it would make more sense to proceed against the second defendant. They have the option to proceed against the first defendant should they decide to do so.
Chris Smith, thank you for that update. Chris is a senior associate at DSC Attorneys and represented Craig and Riette Barley in the case, which came to its conclusion, or at least part conclusion, last Friday. So there we have it, a ruling that both are jointly liable, both the owner of the facility, Catherine Moore, who is now out of the country, and the Provincial Department of Social Development. So it still remains to be seen whether they will appeal and what sort of damages will be set. We'll keep you posted on this one.